share that with us today. But I pray you'll open up our hearts to receive what you may be prompting within us. And that could be something that would be a conviction, or it could be something that's just joyous, or something that could be of encouragement. It could be of anything, Lord. But Lord, just make us open to what you have to say to us. Amen.
Right. What was in my mind just now? Yes, boo-hoo. What was in my mind was when everyone was sharing about John, was he gives and takes away, that song, basically the name, gives and takes away. And I was just reflecting on just this last week or two, you know, he's given and he's taken away. You know, just in this, just so recently within our, just this is just within our church family, what has been given and what's been taken away, and that's how God works in our lives. And the truth is, like that first song that we sang, God, he won't be put in a box. We cannot box God up, and it kind of made me reflect on even just this morning. I've had such ambivalence about this last, about knowing, about doing this talk. And to be honest, I thought part of me has been like, I just want to not do it because I was so afraid of being an emotional wreck and embarrassing myself. And then it's funny, even talking to Marie this morning, we were talking about tear ducts. And, you know, they're there for a reason, aren't they? It's okay. And so if the worst was to happen, I think you'd all forgive me, it'll be okay. But real ambivalence in preparing for this, where I thought, I don't want to be an emotional wreck, so I need to be quite clear about what I'm going to say. I need to, my notes need to be really succinct, and I need to know what I'm saying. And then this morning, things kind of happened, and God took me in a different direction a little bit. But when we sang that song, I thought, yeah, he won't be put in a box. And my... when he spoke to me this morning, it was about, I know some of you do read the word for today, don't you, I think. So I read this, and then God, whereas this morning my time was going to be spent kind of meditating and praying and that kind of thing before I came over, and also doing a PowerPoint, putting some nice pictures up, which I love doing, having got my lion up there, I was just like, that didn't happen. God took me somewhere else, so I haven't got any pretty pictures or anything. But what I do know is that I'm glad that I am here. I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that I could stand here, because actually, like I was thinking this morning, I've been in this village for 32 years, and 20 of them now, so more than not, I've been a believer, I've been a follower of Jesus. And I want to glorify him in my last opportunity to stand here for what he's done. So my theme is, as it has been, you know, over this past week, and I've been thinking about it, journeying with Jesus. That's what I want to talk about this morning. But I feel like what he's really put on my heart after reading the word for today is about battle. I really want to focus on the battle. So first of all, for those of you that don't read word for today, I'm going to read it to you. And it's, your setback can lead to a comeback. What seems, oh, first of all, got it on there, Danny put out last minute, I love last minute, Danny. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. And it says, what seems like a setback is often a setup for a comeback. There's no greater illustration of this than Good Friday. On the Saturday between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, it seemed all was lost. But it's not over until God says it's over. The greatest spiritual victory in history was won on the heels of the seemingly greatest defeat. All was lost, but not for long. 3 days after his crucifixion, Jesus walked out of his tomb as a redeemed child of God. That same power lives in you today. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. In God's kingdom, failure is never final. Not if you believe in the resurrection. You won't win every spiritual battle, but the war has been decisively won. The victory was sealed 2,000 years ago when Jesus broke the seal of his tomb. It was the death blow to death itself. Paul writes, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Today you are more than a conqueror in all these things because of what Christ accomplished for you. Yes, you will experience setbacks, but remember this, without a crucifixion there can be no resurrection. So when you have a setback, don't take a step back, because God is preparing your comeback. I just read that and thought, this is what it's about. We're in a war here, and what I think is really lovely, what I love in this church, is that we're part of an army. We need to be part of an army. We can't do this on our own. That's why soldiers fight as an army, and that's what we're doing here. And after reading that, I then have a thing on my phone, a devotional just after that, and it came through, God will never forsake you. And it's Psalm 9, verses 9 to 10, which says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. That's the truth, isn't it? He gives us these truths in his word. And I don't know about you, but losing a spiritual battle, we're in a battle, that's the truth, and losing a spiritual battle can make us think we're back at the beginning again. It can knock the wind out of our sails. It can make us think that perhaps our faith isn't real, perhaps God isn't real, or perhaps if he is real, he doesn't care about me. And we can lose sight of the truth, and we can lose sight of even the fact that he's told us the armour we need for this battle. We can lose sight of where to find that and what it is. Or I'll speak for myself. I can think, I've forgotten even that the Bible's there to look at, that if I'm in a real war, that's what goes on for me. This is where we need each other. This is where I feel, in thinking about journey with Jesus, this is what he's really put on my heart just this morning. And I was reflecting on last week, and I have asked permission to share this. We're talking of a battle. I don't know whether some of you were or were aware, but there was a real battle going on here last week. And there's bound to be. Last week, some people got baptized, right? There's going to be a battle. And these people have been through some stuff in different ways. They have been through some stuff recently. And my friend Seema, she got up here and she shared, some of you, I don't know if all of you were here, you weren't, but she shared just a brief, you know, why she wants to be baptised. And the truth of it is that she knows she would not be alive if it wasn't for Jesus. And that's what it's about, isn't it? Well, Satan doesn't want her to believe that. Of course he doesn't want her to believe that. So he's going to try and convince her that it's not actually her idea to get baptised. You know, perhaps it's not right. Perhaps she's not good enough. Perhaps she's not. Again, the songs this morning reflected that thing of, you know, I think I'm not good enough. I'm shameful. I'm this, I'm that. And God says, no, come to me. Come to me. And this was the battle going on in this very place just a week ago today, here, in before baptisms. And it was real. And it was, you know, deception can be so subtle. And Satan will use whoever he can. And he will use Christians, you know, he will use a mature Christian to thwart God's plan to save somebody, which is what he did with this young woman. And thankfully, she chose Jesus. She battled, she put on her armour, as tough as it was, and got up here and said something. And I think, how different could that have been? How different that could have been if we choose not to fight, if we choose not to stand against the plans of the enemy. The enemy knows God's plans for her life. He knows the plans for Marie Crayford, for everybody in this room. He knows what those plans are. And actually, what I was thinking of, you know, when we let God do the work in us, what he can do through us is quite incredible. Just last week, because Seema decided to be baptised, I don't know if you might not all be aware of this, we went outside, and then Will was just like, I'd like to be baptised, because of, she got baptised, he came to support her, and Will got baptised. And then our little Ben was like, I love Jesus, I want to be baptised. Like, only God is all I can say, only God. Like, how does that happen? And I think, do you know what? religion will tell us, legalism will tell us, well, hang on a minute, just one second, they haven't done a baptism course. They haven't learned the scriptures. They need to stop, they need to talk to a priest, they need to get this right. Are they living clean lives? You know, have they repented for all this? I mean, my goodness. What would religion do? The damage that religion could have done to those young people? Phil? Nothing. He's just like, yeah, you love Jesus? Can't be that. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? That's what Jesus says. Come do it. Then the journey begins. Baptism is not the end of the journey. It's not to stand up here and say, oh, my past was really, you know, quite this, that and the other, but Jesus saved me, now everything's fine. No! He says, I'm in a battle. I'm in this battle, but now I've got Jesus alongside me. These young people, my goodness, what have they been through? You know, Craig and Marie and Seema have been through some really, really tough stuff. My goodness, really tough stuff. But they're here. And they've joined this army. And sorry. My prayer is that this army will close in, you know, because these are young people. And I looked up there on that beach and I saw a 9-year-old, how old are you? 24, 26, 31, and young people. Young people up on that beach, and I looked at them, they're all individuals. Elaine's just prayed it about us all being individuals. We haven't all got the same gifts. We're all different. You know, and they stood up there on that beach and they said, I love Jesus. You know, I want Jesus in my life. And I think he is going to honour that. But they need us. They need, he uses us as part of that battle. And they will have battles. Anyway, that's where I was this morning with this. And you might wonder why this, I'm going to tell you this now. You might just, because you might be curious about what he's doing here. So I'll just tell you about him, and I'm going to share some thoughts about my journey before Mark starts looking at his watch or something. This figure, I don't know when it appeared in our house, and it was years and years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, I hadn't before I met you.
Oh, before you. So he's always been hanging about, and he's always annoyed me. Because he just, like, I just thought he was really arrogant, and he collects dust and he's annoying and he's heavy and I just didn't like him. I think he got banished to the garage in our old house. I just didn't like him. And then I think he was in the shed until recently when we've been clearing everything out. And then we've been trying to sell it. So I put him on marketplace, whatever it is, and a man immediately, as soon as he went upstairs, yes, I want him, £45, deal done, he's coming to be collected. This was on Monday. That's Monday. By Friday, but he was coming on Friday. And as the week went on, I was like, I developed this weird attachment to him. And I would say to Mark, I just like him. Like I said, he went up on our fridge, and the more I looked at him, the more I liked him. He's called Julian Gloria now. I was looking at him, and then I was like, I said to Mark, he's wearing a lion. No, I didn't. I said, but what is it? Mark said he's wearing a lion. I said, I hate him. I hate him. He's wearing Aslan. That's not okay. And then this man sent me a text. He said, I'm not coming on Friday because I found him on eBay for £20. And I went, yes! We're keeping him. We're taking him to Canada. I'm going to take him. Mark said, I can't get my suitcase. He's too heavy. I said, I'm carrying him. He's coming on the train. On the same big me. William is coming. I'm like, we're attached to him. Anyway, on Friday, I'm in town, and this man phones me, texts me, and he says, I've decided it'd be nice to have a pair. And my heart just went, okay, I've got to let him go. It's £45, we need the money. So we have to part with William. He said, will you take £40? I said, no! I said, I love you too much, it's £45 or nothing. So he can text me back. So William is coming on the airplane. On my lap. Now, what I've realised, first, with my journey with William, is, oh my goodness, but our stuff is gone. I had a big Aslan, right? You must have seen this. I'm defeated Aslan. Big one on our bedroom. well, he's gone now. Everything's like been packed up. Aslan's not there. William's here. William is clothed in Aslan. He's clothed in Jesus. And I thought, do you know what? I don't need to look at that picture. Like, I'm clothed in Aslan. Suddenly that Colossians scripture came to life for me. It was like, I'm clothed in Aslan. I'm clothed in Jesus. Each one of us in this room are clothed in Jesus. Like, that just spoke to me so much. It was just like, He's demonstrating it, and he's got a sword. He's got the sword of the spirit. Anyway. that's why he's there. So he's helping me today. He's alongside me, and I just want to take this opportunity, as briefly as I can, of sharing a little bit of my journey with Jesus, because it's been 20 years. I want to glorify him. I'm very different than I was that time ago, and I just want to reflect on just a few things that God's taught me, a few things that I've learned on my journey. And I want to start with the importance of being real, of being authentic. And I've gradually learned to take off my mask, as we all need to do, and realise that actually it's okay not to be okay for all of us. It's okay. We don't have to come in with church faces. We don't have to come in pretending it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to be angry. All those things. It's okay not to be okay. Dan Allender says the soul will not be healed without truth. And one of the biggest things that I harp on about and have done for years is that it's only truth that leads to freedom. It is only truth. And the next thing that I've learned is the importance of knowing our true identity. Again, Elaine said we're all individuals. We're not minions. We were created individuals, like snowflakes. And it's important to know that, not to try and be like somebody else. We're all so different. I've just said about those being baptized, all so different. Look on the beach at those people last Sunday. And all so different. All different journeys. We look different. You know, everything's different. We're different in this group. We've just been talking about a man who was, what, 80? How old was John? 80. You know? And then we've got like little babies and little Lucas. And little, you know, it's like we're all different, aren't we? In how we look, in our journeys, and how we are. God wants that. He doesn't want minions. The importance of being brave, like the lion. Being willing to face the truth. Being willing to face it. Trusting that we are safe in God's hands, that he has got our backs, that we are part of an army. Rather than, as I'm sure I'm not the only, I know I'm not the only in this room, than using a mass of coping mechanisms to try and cope with what's going on, to try and deny reality, to try and numb the pain, to try and please other people, whatever. Rather than finding these coping mechanisms, to trust Jesus, to be brave. I've learned that I'm not a disease. I'm not contaminated. No one in this room is bad. No one in this room is a disease. I do not make bad things happen, nor do any of you. We're not that powerful. We cannot make them happen. Nor am I responsible for the choices that other people make. We all have choices in life. We can't blame anyone else for the choices we make, nor can we be held responsible for the choices others make. I've learned that I'm a child of God, that each one of us in this room is a child of God, that I am loved, that I am accepted, that I am known, and each one of us, whether we recognise it or not, each one of us wants to be known, truly known, for who we really are, and to be loved. I've learned not to let shame dictate my choices. I'm going to correct that. I am learning not to let shame dictate my choices, because sometimes I do. And that's when I need a fellow soldier to kind of say, you know, that's not God's way. I'm learning to not let that shame dictate my future, what God's got for me, the plans he's got for me. And I've just been, you know, it's been over a year when I talked about shame. I think it was Easter. It was when I nearly didn't talk, because John had already done the sermon in his prayers. And I talked about shame. And shame is so huge. I mean, you could talk for months and months and months about shame, because it has such an impact on our lives, doesn't it? It's huge. And I believe it is the root of all addictions, of all our problems. Shame is a killer. And it can just ruin the plans God's had for us. It convinces us that not only do we do wrong things, but we are wrong. We don't actually believe we shouldn't exist, and it's so damaging. And I've learned that silence has to be broken in order for that shame to be diminished, because it is so toxic. It has such power over us. I've learned the importance of having clear boundaries. Boundaries are so vital to living a healthy, functional life, whether within a kind of a Christian community or outside. Just as a human being, we all need those boundaries. And we need them not to be controlled or dictated by other people. They're an essential part of living in freedom, not to be controlled by others. I've learned that it's okay to say no. It's okay. We're not God. No one in this room is God, and we can't do everything or make everything okay. And the other thing with boundaries that it makes me so cross when God is misunderstood, when people get this wrong. That's what religion and legalism do, isn't it? God isn't authoritarian. He doesn't shout down as you do this, or, you know, he's not like that. That's why he created the Garden of Eden, isn't it? So he could walk with us. He just wanted to walk in peace and harmony, and, you know, always them taking a tree, and, you know, that didn't happen. But he's not like giving us all these, the Ten Commandments, you know, simply to keep us safe. That's all. He's not like that. He doesn't want to rule over us. Satan does. That's where we get it wrong, and that's where Satan's clever. You know? It's like, he's the one that is dominant and manipulative, and yet it gets twisted so that people think it's God that's authoritarian. And he's not. He's not like that. That's why I love the chats. I think that gives a wonderful portrayal, true portrayal of him. He's about relationship, not about rules and regulations. I've learned the importance of holding hope, both for myself and for other people. And Proverbs, you know, Proverbs 13:12, that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I so agree with that. Lack of hope, what it does for our physical health, our emotional health, our physical health. We need hope. And we need to hold it for each other, because there'll be times when we don't have it. Hold hope for somebody else. I've let that have a purpose. If God does use cracked pots, Mark, he does. I've learned that how God can take pain and transform it into something precious, where we can reach out to other people because of it. Even like I said, the example I gave for last week, we make that decision, you know, Stephen made that decision last week, I'm going to do this, and through that, you know, a couple of other people come forward too. I mean, that's what he does. I believe, and I know, I don't forget, I know that he takes the shattered pieces again. We sang it this morning. He takes the broken pieces, and he will put them back together. He will. And he'll do it in that Japanese pottery gold, with gold, so that it has more value than it had before. That's what he does. He puts our shattered hearts back together again. And then we want to come alongside others and take them to God when we put their shattered hearts back together again. But we have to give them the pieces. And I know, you know, I think this is the thing, I know even at this moment in this room, that's what he's doing for many, many people right now in this room. He's taking the broken pieces that he's been given, and he's gradually putting them in his way, gently back together again. I've learned the importance of authentic relationships, because the truth is that God did make us a relational, we know that. Damage takes place in relationships, therefore it needs to heal in relationships, I believe. And sometimes the truth is, we can think we can journey, and lots of people, and I've said it before, why do you need church? Sometimes not only do you need the army, you need to be alongside someone, you need to fight together, but sometimes you need someone with skin on, don't you? Like, God uses us. You just need someone with skin on, or maybe it's just me. But that's what he does. He made us relational. It's okay to reach out to others for help. Dan Allender says it will be in the midst of relationship that we begin to taste the wonder of connection, intimacy, and forgiveness. I've learned that it's good to take one step at a time. That's a big lesson. Not to just go whoosh and expect everything is, and just rush into everything. One step at a time is okay. And that's whether it's in my own journey or in journey alongside somebody else. Healing isn't often instant. It does happen, of course it does. Instant miracles happen, but there is still a miracle in the one step at a time process. And that's usually the way it works. Usually it is a process. And that's how we understand other people, because when we build that process ourselves, then we can say to someone else, it's okay, it doesn't mean you're back at the beginning. You're walking a process. So I've learned to lower my self-expectations and to try and be patient. Try and be patient. I've learned that the more I invest in my relationship with God, the more I will change and grow. I've learned the importance of training in lots of different ways, lots of different areas of training. I want to tell you about my Ben. My Ben, before sports day, he came to me, it was just really sad. He just came to me and said, I'm the slowest runner in my class, and it's just, everyone laughs at me, everyone like, I can't do it, I just cannot run, it's just, it was so. So I said to him, right Ben, why don't we go to the field and we'll start training then, we'll do some running together. So we went out to the field, and there's a few things, and I've written them down. There's a few things that I noticed with Ben when we went over to the bottom of the thing and did the field. So I said to him, right Ben, just run to the tree and run back, and I'll time, and I'll take, run to the tree. So the first time he ran, he ran, and he's running back, and his eyes are closed. Like his eyes were closed when he was running. And I said, I suppose that's so that he didn't know how far he'd got to go. I mean, luckily there was no trees, like, in the way. But it reminded me of this lady called Marion that I used to work with in my early 20s, who had learning difficulties. And she's come out of an institution, very institutionalised. And when she was doing something, she didn't want anyone to notice if she was, like, taking something or, I don't know, being a bit mischievous, whatever she was doing. She closed her eyes, but she thought she was visible, you know? And it just reminds... We have to have our eyes open, don't we? Like, God still sees us. And we need our eyes open in whatever we're doing. We need to be focused. Then, in doing that running, he needed to see where he was going. He needed to be aware of what was around him, which thankfully wasn't a trip. But we do need to be able to see. And aren't we blessed to be able to see? You know, we're so blessed to be able to see. I'm going off on a tangent, but I was recently thinking about Kathy. You know, many of you remember Kathy Langrick, and how she, you know, she'd come to worship, and at that point there wasn't a hearing loop in here, and she was sighed. It was like, and I thought, I remember thinking then, to not be able to hear? Like, what would that be like? So, you know, we're lucky to be able to keep our eyes open. The second thing with Ben, he didn't run in a straight line. He did this, oh, I run, 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 and he was just like, he made it twice as hard for himself, because he did a really big loop. And I said to him, just focus on where you're going, just run towards that. It kind of makes it easier than veering off. She says veering off on a tangent in her talk all the time. But keeping focused is important. And the other thing he asked me, he said, Mum, how can I get better? How can I do, because he was literally, in fact, to be honest, the first time, I can say this because he's not here, he was just so, his heart hurt. In fact, I was going to take him to the doctor, his heart was like, he was just like, because he wasn't fit. He's like, I can't do this, I can't physically, and I remember that when I tried to run. And it's like, you know, you physically can't do it, it's like, it hurts, how can I get better? So, I said to him, Ben, you need to believe in yourself that you can do this, you know? Stop comparing yourself to others. Know that you are capable. You have got it in you. Believe the truth. You know, don't believe the lies that the others have told you, that you're too, you know, you can't do it, you're not capable, you're not this, you're not that, you know, that are mocking him or criticising him. Believe in it, you can do it. But you have to work hard. You have to put the training in. You have to, it's your choice whether you work hard towards this or not. No one else can do that for you. Focus on what you can do. Don't give up. And he actually began, rather than operating from that place of shame and humiliation and like, oh, everyone just thinks I'm rubbish, and he was just like, you know, so that's what a bit of encouragement can do, isn't it? That's what we need to do for each other, a bit of encouragement. And he was just like, right, I'm going to do this. And you know what, that boy didn't want me. I said, right, Ben, we'll come every day to school. We'll run, but we'll do it. He said, Mum, I don't need to do that. I'm going to do this by myself. And so every day after that, he would come over and he'd play football with another dad, a friend of his dad, in the field. And he'd come back and he'd say, I can run back now. decided he wanted to do it on his own. And I just thought that's such a lesson for us to apply to our lives. You know, it doesn't have to be difficult, does it? God has given us what we need. We just need to believe the truth about what he says about us. We need to spend time with Jesus. We need to put that time into building a relationship, make wise choices. We need to stop trying to be someone else and accept who we are and aim to fulfill, find and fulfill the plan that God has for our lives. And to never give up, to keep our eyes open, to put on our armour, to beware of the enemy's plan to destroy us, which is, I find, very easy to lose sight of, actually. Because he's clever. He gets in there and we can lose where we're going. And in the process of all that, let's take others with us. Isn't that what we're meant to do? Journey together. Be real about the pain and the struggles. Be real about where we are. As was demonstrated last night with these baptisms. No one was making out that everything's fine, everything, you know. No, that doesn't happen. We need to share our struggles as well as our victory. The beginning, it's the beginning of a journey. When we choose Jesus, that's the beginning. It's not the end. And I think it's really significant that those who got baptized last Sunday, they're in the middle of a storm right now. They're not out of it, they're in it. The difference is, now they have Jesus with them. Now they're not doing it on their own. And not only do they have Jesus in their personal journey, they have Jesus through all of us, as a family, as an army. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus wanted. Each one of us is journeying with Jesus. Wherever we are, we're on a journey with Jesus. And we should never stop growing. There's always something new to learn or change. Something recently happened to me, but it doesn't matter what it was, it left me full of such self-condemnation, where I did that thing of, oh my gosh, you know, I'm back at the beginning. And someone very wise said to me this, I wrote it down, and he said, it's very simple, he just said, as we get older, there comes joy in knowing we can improve. And initially, if he was nearby, I'd want to throw the phone at him. But the more I pondered it, the more it made sense. Because that's what we're meant to do, isn't it? We're meant to always be improving. We're never there. And it reminded me, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he said, God began doing good work in you, and he will continue until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. I am sure of that. And that's Philippians 1, verse 6, where, you know, Paul wrote that from prison to encourage the Philippians in the work that they were doing. And it's so relevant to us right now, just as it was to them then. We're all, as I've said a million times, a work in progress. Thank you, Joyce. And it's not always easy to accept that. Sometimes we want to be all the way there, but we're not. It's not going to happen. Not till Jesus comes back. Or, you know, it's just not going to happen. We're not there. So I'm glad there's always room to grow. He will never leave us. He's always with us. No matter what happens, we can fulfil our purpose. We can be confident that God finishes what he begins. And often using the difficult circumstances that we've been through or that we're going through, which often we think will overwhelm us, but he won't let that happen if we fix our eyes on him. I've learned, as I've mentioned just now, that deception is powerful. We need to stay in the light. We need to help each other stay in the light. Freedom comes more in the light, but the enemy will keep trying to draw us back into darkness, using whatever methods he can. Often using methods that we wouldn't even consider for a possibility. And lies, his lies can be so convincing. Putting on the army. Victory is ours, but we do have to apply it. We are going to be completed on that day when we go to heaven. Jesus broke the bonds of fear. And there's nothing that can get between us. Again, we sang that this morning. The words that we sang this morning said were like, grace will complete God's work in us. It's the same grace that saved us. We'll keep this work going. We'll carry us through it. His work in us is complete. And, am I going over time?
Yeah.
Do you want to step up? Shall I step up? I'll skip. I'm really sorry. I've just noticed it's 1 o'clock. I'm really sorry. This is what happens when you kind of think, now what's my journey been? And then God this morning says, just say this. Battles is, I think, the main thing that I want to get across. You know, we can put all our energies in something that God actually wants us to let go of, what he wants us to battle for, is his truth, is freedom, freedom in him. What has he got for us? What does he focus on? What did Jesus focus on when he was here on this earth? And he focused on the broken, the hurting, the lost. The point is Jesus. He's on the other side of the finishing line, and he will use everything that we've been through. He put us here, as I've said many times, as a for a time such as this. Just because I believe this man here was here for a time such as this for me this week. There's a lady called Chai Keenan, I don't know if any of you have heard of her, but she had a horrific childhood and a really long road to freedom. And now she helps rescue others from abusive situations. And she says this, she says, "I was indeed born and then broken, but I'm living proof that broken can recover a life worth living." And I think that's a wonderful quote, but what makes me sad about it is that, as far as I know, she doesn't know Jesus. And I think, how much more healing could she have if she knew Jesus? A lot, obviously. But he has redeemed us. He does redeem us. When Ben ran, it hurt, as I said. He had to work through that pain, the same as we all have to work through our pain and fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus. But we don't need to do it alone. He's with us. And I really believe that we have real family here. I think that's where I need to not say that, because it's a very real place. And I love that, you know, I think it's really significant that it's growing, that people are coming. People, it's time for us to I will say this. Matthew 10:34. Jesus says, "He's not come to bring peace, but a sword. He's come to bring a sword." This is a battle, and often we can be ruled by our limitations rather than by our potential, rather than by what we can do, what we can give. I hope that no one ever in this room thinks that God doesn't have a plan for their life. Because he's got a plan for every person. And sometimes we have to draw our swords and we have to fight. It's a battle. God's given us the armour, but we have to get it out. That's what we learn in Narnia, isn't it? That's what we learn in Narnia. Take me back to Narnia. But that's what we learn. All the Narnia stories, just as in the Bible, are about battle and about rescue. And that's what God does. That's what he teaches us. I don't know what the future holds, but I know God. I know God is good. I know that for me and Mark, he's given us this opportunity to go. And I know it will be okay. I know we have a dream. I know that my dream is to have this retreat where people can just come and be and find healing and restoration in a beautiful place. Come for as long as they need to find that. And I think, you know, there is an awful lot of places like that where people can just come, not without a huge price. And they can come and recover and recuperate, whatever. So, you know, but it's trusting God's plan in it all. I just want to share with you one thing that I saw the other day, and how many of you ever see Beth Moore's talks, but she was talking about how we look up to the stars. So we look up at a starry night and we see these stars twinkling. And she got out a big black piece of paper and she put a torch through holes in this bit of black card. And she said, "That's what the angels see when they look down at us as believers." And I just thought, for me, it gave me this picture of, do you know what, no matter where, it makes the world a smaller place, doesn't it? It lays it to me on the day. It's only a day away. And actually, when the angels look down and they see the stars of where we're trying to shine for Jesus, you know, we're going to be trying to shine in Canada. You're all going to be shining here. When the angels look down, we're pretty close together. I just love that picture that she gave. Whatever, my scripture I put at the end is Philippians 13:14 says, what does it matter other than Christ is proclaimed? I am going to say a prayer. Can we just play a song? Is that okay? Do you mind? Can we just play a song? Can I play one more song? I actually asked Elaine if she could sing it. like yesterday, I just got an answer. Hey, can you sing a song tomorrow? She's like, I'm a bit busy now. That's really fair. But I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to leave you with a song. That's the video, some of you, probably including my husband, will say it's very cheesy. But the words are beautiful, and I love them, and it's my song to all of you. The words are lovely, but like I said, the actual video.
I don't often stand behind a microphone, but I've known Cheryl since she was 15, when she was helping her little brothers and sisters down in the Corrie Church. She had a cream cardigan on. She was such a pretty girl, and she was a lovely girl, and I know that she's had sometimes walked, you know, a rocky path, but this woman is, I think, the greatest Christian. The change in her own career, honestly, I think she's a magnificent Christian. How she has changed through the love of Jesus. That's all I want to say, that she's a magnificent Christian. And you've got to accept that. That's what you are. Jesus has done it all. Oh, that's so lovely. But she's wonderful. And she never takes any credit for herself. I want to give it to her.
We just fell talking together over there, Jenny and I, that we ought to pray for Mark and Cheryl. Yeah. Because it's the last time we're going to have them together to ourselves. We'll have to share them next week. So Mark, come on. Sing your song, Cheryl. And anyone else who wants to come and join me, if you want to stand in your seats or you want to come out here to pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word that you have placed so intensely on Cheryl's heart today. We just thank you that you have spoken to her, and through her you have spoken to us. May we take on board and work what we've heard today. It's really been from you. We pray that we will fix our eyes on that goal. As we heard today, we will fix our eyes on Jesus. As we continue here as our junction family, as Mark and Cheryl go to Canada, they will fix their eyes on you. And as Cheryl mentioned about looking at the stars through dots, now the stars seem so close together, and as we look up at the night sky, the beauty that is there, and those same stars can be seen in Canada, as well as here. So we are together up there, shining stars up there in heaven, and those that have gone before us are from the heart that's there, shining on us. And we pray that we will follow his example. Carry on the good work through the thick and thin, through the ups and downs, and we will meet together as one body when we see you face to face. So as we led, we just pray for Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the great privilege it has been my channel one time around my body. And I have watched her walk that path that Davina described, and it has been tough, and we've laughed and we've cried, but to see her standing at the front like she has today, just thank you. Amazing privilege. And thank you, Mark, as well. They had to walk through tough times together as well as a couple. Lord, you are an amazing God. You are a God of restoration. You are a God of healing. And they are absolute walking proof of that. And I pray your blessings on them. I pray your protection. And every single morning when they open their eyes and turn to the Lord, may they just glorify and praise you. Junction 19, and being one of them is a very special time of things. And I'll never forget that. And I hope one day we'll see you again soon, or we'll come and see you again.
Passage in the Bible. We, us, not Michelle, we're all more than conquerors. Nothing's been done much, but because Jesus loves us. I just think that is marvellous. Really is. And we wish them well, we love them very much, and we're going to miss them so much, but we know that we're joined in a spiritual way. Through the love of Christ, and which they've spoken of so often here, and we are ever grateful. And we really are so grateful. We love them very much, and all the family too. Amen.
In your word that you have plans for us to prosper and succeed, and sometimes we do feel inadequate, but with you all things are possible. So we go looking at the goal, gaining the prize, and that goal is fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and completion of our faith. Without him we are nothing, but with him we are everything. We can succeed. We can prosper. So I pray for Mark, Cheryl, and the rest of the family, they will see that vision, they will see the goal, and they will move forward. We thank you for this going today. And I hope you go with me as we go to my dream. Whatever we face, you are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. I will see you short so much.
Shall I pray for your Sean and for the same friend? Okay. So Jesus, I want to thank you for every person in this room. I want to thank you that each person in this room is on a journey with you, and I pray that we always feel you close to them. Always know that you're there. Those times when they feel alone, know that you're there even if they can't feel you there. I thank you for this precious family here, each person, so precious. And I pray that you would work in them and through them for the rest of their time on this earth. And I thank you for the hope that we find in you. And as I read this that Mark found that I've written a while back, and we'll play the song. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused I waited. He continued, when you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I'm not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I'm not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I am. Thank you for the truth of these words, Jesus. Thank you that you are. Thank you that that is enough. And thank you that there is always hope in you. Amen.
Cheryl bravely battling through that. What an emotional charged morning to be, goodness. But thank you so much for honouring us the way you have done. I never feel we deserve it, but we accept it anyway. And we'd love to see you next week as well. And there's just one other thing I want to add, and it's about money. I don't know if there's any collection buckets, but buy some cherries, even if you don't like them. Buy some cherries, give it to a neighbour. That can be your donation this morning's junction, okay? So buy them. Elaine doesn't want to take them home, so they're Kent's best cherries. I mean, you know, So we will have prayer ministry, as we always do, so please just come, so we'll be hanging around the corner for those who are not in prayer ministry. And I really hope to see you next week. But please pray for Karen as well between now and then. Have a wedding day. See you later. You can go back. Oh, yes.
Hi, I'm really sorry. I'm here.